This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So for those of you that were watching the stream during the break, you know that we have been having a discussion about whether Lonzo, who is going through some stuff with the old knee.
I've got arthritis. They say I need a knee replacement. So there.
It's up to you how much you're willing to reveal.
I broke my knee in 1987. Okay.
Lost his groin in the same game.
No, I never did that, but I know some people who allegedly did. It was pieced together in 1987, and it held all this time, but now it's riddled with arthritis. They say it well. You should see the x-rays. It's pretty bad. So it needs to be replaced.
So we were having the debate, does Lonzo get a Gandalf staff, walking stick staff, or my suggestion was, get a pimp cane, big diamond on the top, right? Whole shellac. And we've gone back and forth. During the break, Captain America, Chris Evans down the hall came in, and I did not realize that a mic was on, so some of you heard this. We were like, Chris, does he go bow staff, like walking staff, like Gandalf the White, or does he go pimp cane like Gator from the other guys? Chris said he should get one of those old people staffs that has like tennis balls on the bottom. And I got to tell you, I was offended for Lonzo at that point.
Yeah, well, I expected that from Chris. That's
you
fine.
Really did. You called that shot.
That's fine.
You called that shot.
I will get my vengeance because I always do. So,
Gamecock fans, I have a question for you. Nick Imanwori played the first half of the Citrus Bowl, sat out the second half. Now, the controversy that is happening right now is that it seems that Nick Imanwori made the decision to sit out the second half. So basically, I'm going to go in, I'm going to play half, I'm going to give you as much pillow as I can give you, and then I'm out the second half of the game. I don't really have an issue with that. Didn't have an issue that Cam Ward did it. Didn't have an issue that Nick Imanwori did it. The problem that is coming out is that there was discussion about a miscommunication between Nick Imanwori and the football team itself. And now the conversation is coming out that, and Brad Crawford of 24/7 Sports reported that Shane Beamer was not notified pregame or at halftime that Nick Imanwori would sit the second half of this game. The rumor going around right now is that Nick had decided he was not playing the second half, but he didn't tell anybody that. He just was like, "Yep, I'm out. It's not happening." And then didn't tell Shane. So basically, when it came for the defense to go out in the second half, Shane was like, "Yo, where's Nick Imanwori?" And Nick was on the sideline like, "Yeah, I'm good, coach. I'm over here. I'm set. I'm good. Y'all have fun. Good luck, everybody. I'm here for you." I don't, for guys that have legitimate NFL draft prospects, I don't have an issue with sitting out for the whole bowl game. I don't have an issue with playing for one half of the bowl game. The only thing I have an issue with here is that you kind of got to tell the head coach, right?
See, I do have an issue with only playing a half. I mean, just just don't play. If you don't want to play, don't play. I'm fine with that. But don't go there and say, here's what you could get if I played in the second half, but I'm done. But through all those situations that I just named, telling the coach is probably priority.
It's the only problem I have.
Yeah, you gotta.
It's the only problem I have. I don't have a problem with sitting.
Or tell an assistant coach.
If
an assistant coach can tell the coach.
Yeah, just tell somebody, right? If that is what happened, and if Nick just didn't tell anybody he wasn't playing in the second half, or worse, he thought somebody was going to pass that information on, which is a possibility, right? Nick may have an agent. He expected the agent was going to tell him. Nick has some sort of manager. He expected the manager was going to tell him. Whatever the case,
maybe he expected
somebody was going to tell him.
Collective that actually works for the school to tell him.
Collective doesn't work for the school, but make up whatever you want to make up. However you think it was going to handle, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, the coaches have got to know. The school's got to know. I don't care if a guy sits the second half. He gave them the opportunity. He gave them as much as he was going to give them. As I pointed out before, if I got to do something around the house and the wife says, well, I got to go into the office after lunch, but I'll help you around the house for the first half of the day before I got to go to the office and make that money, I'm not going to go, well, either help me or don't. I'm going to go, I'll take whatever help I can get.
Your analogies never work.
That one worked perfectly.
No, it doesn't.
How does it not?
It doesn't.
Nick Eamon-Wormy played for half of the game and gave the Gamecocks the best defense that they were able to have for half of the game, said, I'm going to give you the best advantage I can give you, and then I'm going to go get ready for the NFL draft. Half of a game with Nick Eamon-Wormy is better than a game with no Nick Eamon-Wormy. That's just objectively how things work.
I disagree, because if you know he's not going to be there, you can plan like he's not going to be there. Some more people can get reps in practice. You can be better prepared, as opposed to, we know we got this position taken care of because Nick's going to be out there, and then suddenly he's not. And you look over, he's not injured. He's not dressed. Why is he not? What's going on?
Again, the issue in this case, like Cam Ward. Cam Ward told Miami, I'm setting the record, I'm playing a half, and then I'm out. That guy's a top 10 draft pick. He said, I'm playing a half, I'm setting the record, and I'm out. And the coaches said, okay, cool, we're good with that. I assume they said, okay, we're good with it, because otherwise they just wouldn't have played him.
Yeah, I doubt they were good with it, but they didn't really have a choice.
Sure, they had a coach. They could have said no.
They just not played him at all.
Yeah, could have said no. Yeah, you're not starting. You're either playing a full game or you're not. And for the record, and this is why it's an issue with Nick Eamon-Wormy, if a player goes, coach, I'm going to play the first half, and then I'm out, then the coach can say either, why don't you go ahead and head on out now, right? Go ahead and pack it up. Go out and clean out your locker. We'll see you when we see you. Good luck in the league. Or the coach can say, cool, okay, we'll take you for whatever we can get you. The issue here with Nick Eamon-Wormy is that he didn't tell anybody. But here is the comment that I just read on a Carolina message board during the break that made me want to address this. At ThunderGod2467 on Reddit.
So he's not like Thunder God 1. He's Thunder
2467.
God. Okay.
He is the 2467th Thunder God.
That's a lot of Thunder Gods.
A lot of Thors hanging around. Said, quote, Eamon-Wormy just might have ruined his reputation here worse than Juice Wells. Wells ditching us for another team, at least it was in the offseason, and trolling us with their coach is one thing, but having a starter say he's going to play in a bowl game, but then all of a sudden quit halfway through without telling anyone is a new low. No, I'm going to say what Juice Wells did is definitely worse. I'm going to assume that this was a genuine miscommunication between Nick and the coaching staff, that Nick assumed somebody was going to tell Shane and the gang that he was playing one half. The only other thing I can think of is that, Shane maybe like made a comment after Cam Ward did what he did, played the first half, set the record, and then bailed out, that Shane said something in practice like, I'd rather have you not play. And Nick was like, well, I kind of want to play, so I'm just not going to tell anybody. And then I'll quit at halftime. But I can't imagine that's – I mean, maybe it is, but I can't imagine that's the case. I think what Juice Wells did was worse, right? Like, Juice, even after he knew he was transferring, was still cut. Not only did he not play – and again, I'm not going to speculate that he avoided playing and faked an injury to do so. But we know that he stayed on campus after he decided to transfer – we know that he was still coming into the locker room. We know he was still getting the fade in the barber shop in the facility before he took off to go to Ole Miss. And then in that bowl game that Ole Miss played in last night, Dude was openly mocking Shane Beamer. Was doing the hold me back in the end zone, openly mocking Shane Beamer. In that moment was Juice Wells. I'm going to say Juice Wells is the worst dude between these two. I'm going to give Nick Emanwori, who to me was a heartbeat of this team this year, a little bit of credit and say that I assume this was genuinely a miscommunication. I also don't care that much, man. Like, I genuinely don't care. I genuinely don't care. I it doesn't make sense. Like, whatever, dude. The bowl games are good for 17. Now, I will say this. The only way I would have an issue with it is if you were competing at a spot where, let's say, there's like three guys competing for the starting job next year and you got to dress one or you got to not dress one because you're keeping a roster spot for a guy who's going to quit at the half, who's going to check out, opt out at the half, whatever you want to call it. But here's what I'll say. That's when the coach gets to decide what's more important to me, winning the bowl game or getting ready for next year. Winning the bowl game or getting guys prepped and ready for next season. And then it just becomes a priority. If I'm Shane Beamer, I kind of want to get to 10 wins, right? I kind of want to be the first guy in a long while to get 10 wins as the head coach of the University of South Carolina in a football season. And if that's the case, I'll take Nick Emanwori for a quarter. I'll take him for a half. I'll take him for as much as he's willing to pay and risk his NFL future by playing in a game that aside from, and this is, I had a conversation with one of the friends of the show a couple of days ago. We were going back and forth about this. Because he texted me, or he DM'd me, and he said, if Beamer knew Nick was only going to play a half, then that is complete... wait, I got to get ready. It's complete bull... Oh, my daggum board's broken. Complete bull beep. You know what I'm going for.
Is it muted?
No, it's the every now and then when I close it and then I open my soundboard.
Well, someone did come in and just work on it, so maybe they...
No, it wasn't that. It's just the board. Right. Sometimes it changes its settings. It doesn't matter, all right? Hey, he said it's complete bull bleep. And I whatever. I responded by saying, why? You got a solid half from an early NFL draft pick that he didn't have
maybe
to give to
you. Maybe your computer decided it was only going to work for half the show.
I love that clip so much. That's just raw Gronk being happy.
Do you love it so much because I hate it
no,
so much?
No, I'd play that. I will. Mm-hmm. I will carry that clip with
why,
me.
That's why
for the
you
rest
watch
of my career.
Me every time you play it.
Well, I know you do hate it too, but dude, that clip is just a bro experiencing joy. How do you not love that? That's just a dude in his element.
If you're out with your guys. And that guy laughs like that. You do whatever you can to not be next to him when he's laughing, because that's embarrassing.
Dude, if somebody makes a 69 joke, I ain't judging him for
well,
laughing
you
like
probably
that.
Were the one who made the joke, but still.
Nice. He said, that's BS. Either play the whole game or don't play at all, but that's where we are in college athletics. I said, again, why? My dude risked a career-altering injury to give you a chance to win game number 10. He could have bailed entirely like Sanders and Kennard. The response was, if you get paid, then you play all of the games unless injured. I hate where college athletics is now, and there's no going back either. My response was, as I have said to Lonzo literally today, they are not paid to play. They're paid for their name, image, and likeness. I'm not going to hate on the players because the suits in charge screwed up their chance to put the rules in place. Bowl games are meaningless outside of, and here are the words that I have been leaning on, narrative victories. Getting to 10 wins is a narrative victory. Getting to 10 wins is a moral victory. It is a victory that does not mean anything other than narratives for the franchise, for the program. It's beating another blue chipper. It's beating a rival. It's getting to 10 wins or 11 wins or 12 wins or whatever the case might be. Outside of that, It doesn't mean anything. So if this guy said, you know what, in a game that means nothing to me, other than saying I was a part of the first 10-win program in however many years for South Carolina, which again, I don't know if you know this, the NFL's not giving you extra money for that. For an NFL draft pick to play in a game that means nothing other than having your name attached to the narrative that you were on a 10-win South Carolina Gamecock football team, for that dude to step up and give you a half is more than he had to give you. As you saw with Rocket Sanders and Kyle Kennard, who both said, yep, I'm good, I'm out. Later, bye.
So, say you're a player that's on the edge of being drafted in the first round and the second round, and you decide to play in that game and you show out. Didn't that help you playing in that game?
Maybe. I mean, that depends on the NFL team, right? That's subjective to the NFL team. That's what Jalen Milroe tried to do, right? That guy's a pick who's trying to elevate his draft status. What'd he do? Go out and throw three picks. Jalen Milroe would have been better off not playing in the bowl game for Alabama. He'd have been better off. You see why I'm saying? Everybody focuses in on guys like Jake Butt, who suffer career-altering injuries, but there's also going out there and sucking in that game and hurting your draft status.
And there's also going out there and showing out and improving your draft status. It's a risk no matter what. Some people are willing to do it, and
sure,
I don't have a problem with that.
Right. Just like I don't have a problem with the guy bailing at halftime and going, I've given you what I'm going to give you to help you, now I'm out.
I mean, just tell somebody. Just don't even play at all. I mean, he wasn't going for a record or anything, right? Going for the record, I understand.
He was going to get 10 wins with the Gamecocks. He was trying to help you to 10 wins. He gave you a half to give you some cushion.
If they got the 10th win, he would still only get 9.5 wins because he only played for a half.
Yes, that's how it works. Yeah, we gauge wins in halves.
Yeah, we do, apparently.
Let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute from right now. We'll get some NFL talk out of the way. Text your answer to which team in the semifinals do you think is most likely to win the Natty? Text Lions, Longhorns, Buckeyes, or Irish to 844-326-3663. We'll tally those votes up at the end of the next segment. The Rob Brown Show, The Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob, the great one, Lonzo, and you. Last call for votes on our text line poll of the day. The question we are asking, which of the four semifinal teams do you believe is the most likely to win the college football national championship? Here is how you vote. You send a text to 844-326-3663. And in that text, you open it, not with the keyword fam, which you don't have to do anymore because the new text line belongs exclusively to us. So no more keyword fam. All you got to do is send your text and it comes directly to us. To vote in today's poll, which of the four playoff teams still alive in the college football semifinals do you believe will win the national championship game? Text 844-844, I can do this, I promise, 844-326-3663. And say, Buckeyes, Lions, Longhorns, Irish. From those four teams, Buckeyes, Lions, Longhorns, or Irish. Text one of those to 844-326-3663. And at the end of this segment, we will tabulate those votes and we will tell you whomst the Armada believes will be your 2024 college football national champions. 844-326-3663. Text Lions, Longhorns, Buckeyes, or Irish to that number. And we will tell you who the people's champ are when we get to the end of the segment. I should say at the beginning of the next one, you get the point. As of right now, it is all Buckeyes. As of right now, it has stayed all Buckeyes. We will find out if the Buckeyes maintain their vote as the people's champions between here and the beginning of the next segment. Until we get there. I asked this question last night on BetMGM Tonight. I was filling in for Ryan Horvat alongside Noisy Huevos Bradley Evans. I asked them this question. I will ask you the same question. Which NFL wildcard team, excluding the runners-up in the NFC North, because that's obviously the go-to answer. Obviously, the go-to answer is whichever one of the two 14-win teams don't win the NFC North and end up being a wildcard team. Of all the rest of the NFL wildcard teams, which of those NFL wildcard teams do you believe is the team that can make it to the Super Bowl or has the best chance to make it to the Super Bowl? I've given a couple so far. I think the LA Rams are a scary team that nobody wants to see. I think the Rams are a scary team nobody wants to see. I've given another one that I'm interested in, and that is my rookie of the year pick, Jaden Daniels and his Washington Commanders. Bum, 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 bum. I think that team is kind of scary. I think that team's got weaponry that they can lean on. I think they have got a quarterback who is afraid of, at this point, not a damn thing. And why would he be? He has been in the pressure cooker a number of times, and he's come out with fourth quarter magic and some dubs repeatedly. So why would the playoffs change any of that? I think those two teams are two teams I'm exceptionally scared of. As far as the AFC goes, there is one team that I put into that equation. I don't think that team's going to the playoffs, so I don't think it's going to ultimately matter. But that one team that I am afraid of, if they were to get in, would be the Cincinnati Bengals. If the Bengals find their way in, and again, they're not going to. The Bengals need a lot to go right. Not only do they have to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, not a given, because the Steelers on Saturday night are also playing for the division. But if the Bengals find their way past the Steelers, the Chiefs backups upset the Denver Broncos. They are 10.5-point dogs in this game. And the New York Football Jets decide to win one for the Gipper and go send Aaron Rodgers out, because I do think he is out, with a win in his final game as a New York Jet, maybe his final game in the NFL, period. If all that goes right and the Bengals sneak in, then I do think the Cincinnati Bengals, led by a quarterback in Joe Burrow, who is going to eclipse the 5,000-yard mark. And can we call it a buck? If Joe Burrow's team was an 8-8, Joe Burrow would be the MVP this year. Okay? That's the season he's having. If he was 8-8 this year, if he was not 8-8 this year, I think Joe Burrow would end up being your MVP. So with that being said, if they snake in, I think Cincinnati becomes the team on both sides of the bracket out of the wild card spot that I want to see the least, with the exception of the NFC North runners up.
He was 8-8 in the NFC South, be in contention.
Oh, for sure.
For winning.
For sure. If he was 8-8 in the NFC South, his team would be in the playoffs, and I think the MVP vote would be a lot. He's like plus 2,500. I think he'd be closer to like plus 1,000 if he was in the NFC South, because he'd be in the playoffs. Also, if he was in the NFC South, they'd be like 12-5 if we're keeping it a buck. They'd beat everybody in the South. All right, let's get a phone call in before we're under the break. Lonzo, I still don't have my software to tell me who's on the phone.
Mm-hmm. T.A.
Who?
T.A.
D.A.?
T.A.
T.A. T.A., welcome to the show, big dog. How we doing?
All right, my man. Yeah, that was the most obvious statement about Joe Burrow that I've ever heard. I think you can still make a big argument that he's got MVP statistics as it is. But the reason I called, and you're talking about wild card teams, I think you haven't mentioned it, but I think the loser of the Vikings-Lions team or game is going to be the favorite from the wild card position to make a run at the Super Bowl. That to me, that's just clear, and it's just a clear those two teams are phenomenal. They're in the same division, obviously. And I just think the loser of that game is going to have they're going to drop to a 5 seed, and they're going to have kind of a hard, which everybody's going to have a hard way to the Super Bowl. But my pick over the discussion is the loser of that game in the NFC. What is that?
North.
NFC North.
Yep.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yep.
So just wanted to drop that.
Appreciate it, Big Dog. Thanks for checking in. No, I did mention that game. In fact, the setup for the take was which wildcard team that is not the runners-up of the NFC North, because the runners-up of the NFC North are easily the best wildcard team, the team that becomes the most dangerous out of the wildcard spot. I actually said the setup for the conversation was which non-NFC North team is the most dangerous wildcard. But I agree with you. Listen, I'll tell you what I love about these two teams. And it's not just that they're both very good. It's not just that they have a pair of quarterbacks that I'm rooting for Sam Darnold. I'm rooting for Jared Goff. Jared Goff is in Detroit because the Rams gave up on him after he took him to a Super Bowl. They just were like, all right, we're done with this guy, which I thought was a joke. So I'm rooting for Jared Goff as well. But I'll tell you why I love it. Because I love Dan Campbell and I love Kevin O'Connell. I love a pair of dudes that showed up, went to the grind to build a culture in those two franchises that's of their image, and it's worked. With Kevin O'Connell, you got this super tight together team. With the Detroit Lions, you got this blue-collar bite their kneecaps squad. And that culture has taken the team, got the players to buy in, and here's two teams now playing for the one seed. I love these two teams.
Keep ignoring the Chargers, man. I know you. I just watch. I'm scared of the Chargers.
I'm not scared of the Chargers. I'm more scared of the Rams. I think this Rams team could end up being real interesting if they make it all the way in. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute from right now. Last call for your vote. We'll give the answer when we come back. Text 844-326-3663. Lions, Buckeyes, Longhorns, Irish. Who's winning the Natty? Back after this with the winner on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
I'm telling you, he says, Rod. I'm telling you, he says, Rod.
Can you play that specific one again?
Give me a second.
All right. I never think to listen to it. So I'm curious. So we had Kane called a couple of weeks ago. We actually used the Ray Memorial Hotline.
You mean Kane, the guy we interviewed from the...
No, not that one. Okay. Not the Big Red Machine Kane. P1 in the Armada, Kane, called not too long ago, and Kane said, Kane called me Rod on the Ray Memorial Hotline, which once we get the text line back up and going, we're going to go back to asking you guys to use the Ray Memorial Hotline as well. That's the best way to get your voice on the radio outside of calling the show. The Ray Memorial Hotline on the Odyssey app. We'll get back to that probably next week, but Kane called me Rod on the air, which was objectively hilarious. And ever since then, we've kind of been... I changed my Twitter handle to Hot Rod Brown because I find it hysterical.
I got it ready if we want to.
All right, hit me.
Telling you he says...
I think he does. I think he does. I think that meant a bit of misfire that turned into one of the most hilarious gimmicks on the show
now. Here's the thing. Knowing the person who wrote that,
Yeah, but we've had that longer than the Ron Brown joke has been going.
No.
Unless you think that started it.
That's a new liner for the new text line.
Is it?
Yes.
I wasn't even
They just
attention.
Wrote it. They just put it in.
Then that's even better.
Someone just wrote it. I know who wrote it. So do you.
Then that's even better.
How do we know he didn't write it that way?
Then that's even better, man. That's phenomenal. That's well done. If that is an intentional hit, that's a good hit, and
right.
I'm going to take it.
I know that person's sense of humor pretty well, and it wouldn't shock me if he didn't do that on purpose.
Hey, here's a fun thing.
What is it, Rod?
I want you to know, of all the wrong names that you could call me, that's the one that I'm like, yeah, I can roll with that. I can get down
Rod,
with that.
Rod, do you know any Rod that's not a cool dude?
No.
I mean, yeah.
Well, first off, do you know any Rods? I know zero Rods. I know Roderick, one wrestler.
The hot Rod, Roddy Piper. I mean, he was a Rod.
Dead guy.
But still,
how many alive guys that are not wrestlers do you know that go by Rod?
Anyone whose name is Rodney, a lot of times Rod is their...
I don't disagree. How many guys do you know that go by Rod? I know zero. I know zero, which is hilarious because it might be the most obvious adult entertainment stage name of all time.
Rod Serling?
Okay, one.
He's also dead.
Zero? Back to zero? Immediately back to zero?
I'm pretty sure there's an announcer named Rod. I'm pretty sure.
Rod Carew?
In the NFL.
Is there a Rod that I'm just not thinking of right now? I mean, there's, again, I know Rodney, and I know one Roderick. I don't know any Rod. I might just be Rod Brown from now on. I don't hate it. I don't. It's kind of great. All right. Real quick, you got 2 minutes to get your votes in. Which team?
Rod Smith, Rod Gardner,
okay,
Rod
one.
Martin, Rod Perry, Rodrigo.
That's it. The Rodrigo Brown Show.
There you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Chicas y chicos. Bienvenido a la Rod Brown Show. Ah, yes.
That's the wrong one.
That's definitely the wrong one.
That's the wrong one.
That's definitely the wrong one. Hello, ladies. Are you here for sensual sports talk? Sports talk with just a little bit of romance.
Dude, you're Rodrigo. You got to have a Spanish accent.
Bienvenido a la Roderick Brown Show. Me llamo Rodrigo. Mi amor, yo quiero you. All right, that's enough of that. That's sad. I weirded myself out. That's unusual.
Let me look up and see if I can find Rico Suave. Do you even know this song? Rod Stewart. Very good.
All right, Rod Stewart is dead-ish.
Rod McDowell. He's more Roddy McDowell, but still, he's still Rod.
Last call. You got 60 seconds to get your vote in. Who do you believe is winning the national championship out of the four semifinal teams? Text 844-326-3663 and text either Lions, Longhorns, Buckeyes, or Irish. Just text one of those words. Lions, Irish, Buckhorns, Buckeyes, or Longhorns right now to 844-326-3663. That poll will close in about 60 seconds from right now, and we will tabulate the votes. I will tell you that unless there is just an absolute swarm of somebody that's not Ohio State, this is just about a runaway for the Buckeyes right now with 15 seconds left to vote. Ohio State taking home 67%. Of the Armada's votes, 22% of the votes going to Notre Dame. Texas received one vote, and Penn State received one vote. So the Rod Brown Show Armada has bought in to the Buckeyes or the hype as the semifinal team most likely to win. I don't have an issue with that. The team has played two playoff games. They have wrecked stuff in those two semifinal playoff games, and that's not an oopsie daisy. That's not Tennessee had a bad game. That's not Oregon had a bad game. That's Ohio State did what they wanted to do, and nobody knew what to do to stop them. I mean, that's where we are. That's what it is at this point. So we'll keep an eye on that for you. Poll officially closed. Ohio State, 67% of the vote. They are the Rob Brown Armada's choice or belief to win this national championship. I was going to hang on this for the last 4 minutes before we get to what the X is going on. But there are reports out. I want you to know how much I hope this happens. There are reports out that if Mike McCarthy is fired by the Dallas Cowboys, the Chicago Bears would hire him as their head coach. I got to tell you, I try not to revel in other teams' misery.
The lead up into that, I thought this was going to be something amazing.
That's not hilarious to you. That's not objective. That the Chicago Bears.
No, what's hilarious is that you just killed your video screen.
I just moved my computer and it just unplugged itself. What is hilarious to me is that the Chicago Bears would look at what has happened in Dallas, Texas. And they would say to themselves, with everything that is going on, we believe that Mike McCarthy is the guy that's going to show up and fit. Mike McCarthy, the guy that is the second biggest problem in Dallas behind Jerry Jones' ego. That's the guy that's going to show up. You got Ben Johnson in Detroit, a Detroit Lions team that is just outscoring everybody right now. So in the second half of the season, Detroit's got the worst defense in the league, and yet they've lost three games. You're telling me right now, in a spot, that you could have Ben Johnson, who reportedly wants the Chicago job. I don't know why. Short of he just believes that Caleb Williams is going to be an absolute dog, which, fine. I'm not going to push back on that. This man, in charge of one of the most successful offenses in the NFL this year, wants to come be the head coach of the Chicago Bears. And they're looking at Mike McCarthy, who's about to get fired for yet another unsuccessful season in Dallas. And again, not the biggest problem. It's Jerry Jones' ego. But a guy who's about to get canned by Dallas, and the Bears are looking at hiring that guy instead of Ben Johnson. I am going to say, James and Will just jumped on. Will said, contract the Bears, just delete the franchise. Yes. Yeah, I mean it. If the Bears pass on Ben Johnson to hire Mike McCarthy, dude, rip the franchise away from the McCaskies. Screw them.
So is Mike McCarthy a step down from who they have now?
No, he's a step up.
Okay.
He's a step up.
All right.
So am I. Eberflus, well, he's not Eberflus right, now. Have, it's Thomas Brown
you,
now.
You haven't won a Super Bowl, as far as I know. You've only been here 4 years or whatever, and so maybe you did win one before you came here.
I would be the Brad Johnson of coaches if I won a Super Bowl. Look, sincerely, if they decide to go with Mike McCarthy over Ben Johnson, honestly, I'm dead serious. At that point, if I'm Roger, ordinarily I'd make fun of you and I'd go, I'm not going to do that right now.
Kind of still did that thing.
Yeah, that was the point. Roger, if the McCaskey family hires Mike McCarthy over Ben Johnson, I am dead serious when I say you should step in and take their franchise away from them. Very serious. I was on last night. All the dudes that work on the BetMGM Tonight program, with the exception of Hayton S. Mario, they're all based out of Chicago. They're all Bears guys. We got to talking about this. Every one of them was like, for the first time in my life, I will find a new team. I will be obligated to find a new team.
You know, you hear that from a lot of fans, and how many of them do that?
None, but that's not the point. The point is to be dramatic.
Dramatic, like my on-purpose pause. Yeah. All right.
Nailed it.
The first thing I know, that's exiting, since we're talking about NFL coaches, Mike Vrabel is exiting.
Mike Vrabel is texting because Mike Vrabel is going to be a head coach next year. The question is where, and I'll tell you right now. I'll tell you where he should not be. Chicago! Go get Ben Johnson! You have a rookie quarterback. Look at what happened with Bryce Young. You can do the same thing, and Ben Johnson's the guy to get you there. Now, where could Mike Vrabel go? Dallas. That wouldn't happen, though, because Vrabel would take the hoodie approach of, I'm going to run this team my way, and I'm going to build the roster the way I want it. And you know damn good and well Jerry Jones. If Jerry Jones would pull a Dave Tepper and be like, you know what? Everything's been going wrong. I'm going to get out of the way and let a dude do it. Mike Vrabel would be a great coach for the Dallas Cowboys, but Jerry Jones can't bring himself to do what Dave Tepper's done and get the hell out of the way.
First of all, Chicago would have won more games if they stuck with Justin Fields. Second of all, Vrabel, according to the internet, so must be absolutely true, is interviewing with the Jets today.
I got to tell you, it's got to be a complete offseason reboot for the Jets, right? Like everything. Get rid of Aaron Rodgers. Get rid of everybody on that team that's not like Garrett and Sauce. Everybody and Brees. Everybody else has got to go. Rebuild that thing from the ground up. And if you're going to do that, Vrabel's a good pick for that. I really don't hate that fit.
If you
want to
bring in a tough guy, a guy who's not going to take any crap from anybody, all that kind of stuff, then you bring in Vrabel.
Vrabel and Rodgers would, well, I was going to say Vrabel and Rodgers would kill each other. No, Vrabel would kill Rodgers. Let's be real clear about that.
You don't know that they don't know each other. You don't know that they're not friends. I mean, it is a possibility as far as age goes and all that kind of stuff. Maybe Aaron Rodgers played in the NFL for a long time. He might have actually played against Vrabel.
The day that Rodgers says, Coach, I'm out for preseason. I'm heading out to the Hobbit Hole to do ayahuasca or whatever it's called in the mountains.
Actually, I think Vrabel would probably be okay with that.
I don't think he would.
You've seen some of the videos of what's going on behind him when he's talking to
people?
Yeah,
but he's a psychopath of a football guy.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers ain't.
All right.
I would, honestly, jokes aside, I actually would like that fit. Here's the problem the Jets have. Woody is just a crappier Jerry Jones. This man, Lonzo, this man vetoed a trade that was going to bring Jerry Jeudy to the Jets. You know Jerry Jeudy that's out there kicking ass in Denver right now? Jerry Jeudy was coming to the Jets. You know why he's not a Jet? Because Woody's kid said his Madden rating isn't high enough, and Woody vetoed the trade because his Madden rating wasn't high enough. That's not a serious franchise. That's a joke.
Yeah, I have to say this as many times as I can on the air. When my wife made fun of Woody Johnson when he's in the booth next to us, it was just the funniest thing ever.
Not that I already wasn't, but I am Team Miss Lisa. She was right.
When I told her who it was, she did it even more. So that made it even better. He was upset at a preseason game because they were getting a butt handed to him.
All right, he's been upset a lot of times the last couple of years.
All right, the next thing that's Xing is Jimmy Butler. Speaking of
Jimmy Butler is Xing because yesterday after the Miami Heat game, Jimmy Butler scorched the Heat. He said, I want to try to find my joy playing basketball again. He's like he said, I love it here. And then he stopped and he went off the court. And then a reporter said, can you find your joy playing here in Miami? And he said, no. He scorched the Heat in a prayer. It was awkward to watch, to be honest with you.
All right, last thing. Ric Flair's is Xing.
I don't know if this is why, but I'm going to tell you what I saw earlier. Ric Flair said he's got one more match in him. No, Rick, you don't.
Yeah, you don't.
All right, you don't.
Stop. He's scared.
But
he knows what's about to happen. That record's about to go by.
Oh, for sure. Yes. For sure. What's interesting about this, at least hilarious to me, is that somebody tweeted Bronson Reed and was like, yo, why don't you tsunami this guy to end it all? And Bronson Reed goes, do you want to see him die? And that's not a joke. Ric Flair would just Thanos, right on the spot. Hey, that's it for us. Thanks for being here. Hope you have a spectacular weekend. Do not drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Uber's cheap. Use it, okay? Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll come back Monday, and we have to work all 5 days next week. Son of a... Have a great weekend. See you back here Monday on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later! I was going to play the Gronk laugh, but it broke again.